Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am pleased to be able to speak with three people who work at the Klamath Crisis Center, and they're going to be describing the work that they've been doing in mobilizing men in their rural community. And so I'm really pleased to be able to speak with Wanda Pallas, who is the executive director. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, David.
Great. We also have Kim MacArthur, who is the Rape Prevention Education Coordinator. How are you doing today, Kim?
Doing good, David.
And we're also joined by Mark McDaniel, who's the Pause for Change Coordinator. Hi, Mark.
Hello, David.
The Klamath Crisis Center was featured in the National Sexual Violence Resource Center's new report on innovations in prevention as an example of one of the programs that's really demonstrated some innovation in their sexual violence prevention practice. Let's start with you, Wanda. Can you describe how this works evolved and began and a little bit of that story?
In 2005, we had an opportunity to write for a rape prevention grant here in the state of Oregon. And when the proposal came out, it really focused on the whole concept of prevention and what we could do differently in our communities. We sat down and we really were looking at our community, what has been going on for the past 20 years, as we are a dual program that works with domestic and sexual violence victims. And we've been doing outreach and prevention and education and all the things working with women, but the numbers haven't changed. The issue hadn't changed. We still were considered one of the top five counties in Oregon that had reported incidents of violence. We were still considered one of the top three counties in Oregon with child abuse reports. All our numbers were not changing, and yet we all had done extremely well-developed programs and community events, education forums around prevention strategies, but yet our numbers hadn't changed. So during that process, we had the leadership of the Sexual Assault Task Force in Oregon opened up our doors to have opportunities to see what prevention work was being done in the country. During that process, we got to visit, through a conference, some of the national folks who were doing men's work. And we came back to our county pretty excited about, wow, you know, there's some really strong men's work. Why are we not having men be involved in our process? Well, this didn't really go over that well on the front end because there was a lot of fear in that. Well, how do we know if they're healthy men? What will they do? Will they take over and then just want all of our jobs? There was a lot more underlining there, but that was some of the initial things that shook out of the conversation. In Oregon, almost all of Oregon didn't want to even have the discussion. When I say they did not want to have a discussion, that was domestic and sexual violence programs. I'm really glad to say that today, almost every county wants to engage men and boys in their work. So that's quite a shift of consciousness that we wanted to see happen not only locally but all over the state. We can't take the claim for fame on that one. That was more the Sexual Assault Task Force, although we did play a role in bringing in leaders to Oregon, such as Tony Porter with the Call to Men. He's been in our county three times doing presentations and helping us shift the consciousness. We're a rural community, so we know almost all the same people who do the work. We have the advantage being a smaller population base that we can know those individuals and we can connect with them in a different way. And we see each other at different meetings. So we realize that there's a lot of missing people at the table. The diversity of our community, the age groups, the difference, the cultures in our communities that existed. So we brought them together to have voice in. What would they like to see happen in the change? What would that look like for them as individuals and for them as a collective if they were part of a specialized community, if they belong to a group, organization, or an agency? And we got this really full tablet of information that was a little different than the usual suspects that we would sit at many of our agency meetings. From that approach, we then said, okay, well, let's learn about what's going on in our community and fully understand if our child abuse prevention group is doing a prevention thing, let's go and find out everything about their prevention, what drives their goals, what their strategic plans are, how their funding is, their board, how they support their efforts, what their volunteer training is, everything about it, what their curriculums are, their materials. So we went out and we learned everything we could about the community so that when we brought in the messages of the engaging men and boys, we would be able to have an effective conversation how we complemented what they were already doing. In that process, we then had the opportunity to really review why we're doing that, what the national leaders were doing around the country, and we studied each one of those leaders and found that the call to men was the initial door opener for our community to engage the dialogue, because really, and we're talking, this is I say it respectfully, a very strong good old boy system. They're farmers, they're fishermen, they're hunters. We're talking a culture that doesn't necessarily talk about violence or healthy sexuality or how they were raised, and we wanted to open the dialogue. So that is how we started.
That's really great, because it sounds like you really began to think about how to make those changes to do things differently, and one part of it was to really, how do you really involve the community in a very realistic way, that so you could really learn about what it's going to take to make those changes.
Yes.
And then the other part was about engaging men. So let me turn to Mark and have Mark, why don't you talk a little bit more about, from there, what are some of the work that you've done on how to be able to engage men in your community?
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk about the name of our program. It's PAWS for Change, and that's PAWS for Change. And PAWS stands for Prevention, Awareness, Wellness, and Strength. Now, we work with a graphic artist locally, gave us some in-kind services, and we wanted a logo that both a man would like be proud to put on his pickup truck on his bumper, and a boy would want to put on his skateboard. So we ended up coming up with two bear paws, and with the colors dark green and black, so it's kind of something that would be appealing to men and boys, first of all, and I think that it wouldn't scare them away. Our county is about 67,000, and our urban growth boundary here in Klamath Falls, Oregon, is about 46,000. This county is large. It's over 6,000 square miles, so that's part of the challenge here is getting to outreach to everywhere in the county. But getting back to your question on engaging men and boys, myself, I just retired as a police lieutenant from the local police department, and I came up with a domestic violence presentation before I retired that used all local photographs, local 911 calls, and put that with music and a presentation that I did public information and awareness campaign for domestic violence primarily at that time. Now, we've morphed that into a PAWS for Change project, and we use it fairly extensively, and we've included sexual violence and some stalking, and also it's been adopted locally and is mandated now. Every convicted offender has to watch this, because it's good, because by seeing the photographs of actual victims and seeing pictures of the crime scene, hearing the 911 calls of the victims, it actually gives a great third-person perspective, and a lot of the offenders have an opportunity to sit back for the first time without their auditory exclusion and say, you know, this I really caused all this violence and harm to my family, and it's the first time they've ever really realized that. And I've had some really excellent feedback to say that, you know, I wish I would have saw this when I was a boy, because I didn't know any better. All I knew was what my father taught me and how he treated my mom. And had I seen this and had more awareness when I was younger, then I may not be in this room today. And I didn't know how to treat women. So it's very rewarding in that regard. So that teaches us that we need to get with the younger community. And so part of our challenge was to get with the Community Youth Action Team and create that And I'm going to let Kim talk about that a little more later. But another thing is that I also instruct at the local Klamath Community College. So in my classes, I also integrate part of our project in them. And the class that I had last term was violence and aggression. And they were assigned a term paper project to research how violence and aggression affects Klamath County and what can be done to prevent that. So about 30 students wrote an 8-page minimum term paper, and they did a lot of research and came up with some really good and exciting information. And I was impressed with the boys and the young men that were in that class of their ideas. And I learned quite a bit about the Hispanic community, how that differs from the approach that, you know, is usually given to members of other races also. So it helps us try to, you know, tailor a specific message to a specific group. And we also have a tribal community here, and we're working with the Klamath tribes to, again, tailor a message to reach those men and boys. Part of our outreach is also involved what is called, we're calling the Men's Academy, and that is going to be about a 10-week program in which we engage men and boys, and we've teamed up with Citizens for Safe Schools on that, and they're going to run what they're calling a parenting university, and they're going to help. There's going to be a lot of parents that are struggling with some of their teens, and that'll help them with parenting skills, and at the same time, we will talk with men and boys, and we'll also separate them occasionally and run them through this multi-week process and then bring them back together. And it'll be a good learning experience, and we'll talk about, you know, socialization of men and so on, and how what they can help do to prevent violence, bystander intervention, and that sort of thing. Another thing that we did locally is the prevention forum. And, again, I'm going to let Kim comment on that. But also addressing the military, we have a local Air National Guard base here, Kingsley Field in Klamath Falls. And I've done some trainings out there, but that springboarded, and they set up a training in Portland for me to do for all the for the National Guard, from for the Army and Air Force from Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and Idaho. That was successful, and someone from Idaho really liked that domestic violence and sexual violence presentation. So I've just done 6 more of those presentations all over the state of Idaho for about 2,300 military personnel from the Army National Guard from Idaho returning from Iraq, and about 1,200 of their family members that also attended with them. And that was a very, I thought, worthwhile and self-fulfilling process to go through, and to see the need for that, and also to have them come up, both the men and their wives afterwards coming up and thanking me for bringing this awareness forward, because I think that they sense also that there's, you know, some work to be done there. So that's just some of the things that we're doing, and thanks for the opportunity to pass that on.
Well, great. It's really wonderful hearing about the full range of types of activities you're doing. So I now want to get to Kim MacArthur. And can you talk about how this links to some of the history that Juan has told us, and the activities that Mark's talk about engaging men, how this links into how Klamath Crisis Center is working to really prevent rape and do primary prevention of sexual violence in your community?
Yeah, MARTA's House, the Klamath Crisis Center's primary prevention program, has been engaging men and boys to prevent sexual violence. We have recently combined efforts with the Pause for Change. Mark is under we were granted a federal grant of engaging men and boys to end violence, and we also have the state grant of the rape prevention education, and we combined our efforts. This group has been together in meetings since 2005, and we were the Klamath Basin, A Call to Men, but recently with the new grants coming together and the efforts coming together, we came up with the Pause for Change. And this group is made up of community partners. We've been meeting for a long time, and like Wanda talked about our rural community, walking out into the community and just having a conversation with somebody on the street corner, which can happen here, everybody's very friendly, you don't just start having a conversation about healthy sexuality or prevention of sexual violence. So this is really about changing some social norms, talking about the socialization of men. And when Tony Porter has visited our county a number of times, those were the conversations that were started, and we've continued to build on those. We've been also meeting with those community partners, and we have a number of great efforts going on in this community. Everybody's doing great work as far as trying to prevent violence in any form in Klamath County. And we have recently had Prevention Forum, where we brought some sexual violence prevention education in from the state. Ashley Meyer from the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force came and did a presentation, and we were able to highlight all the prevention efforts in the community. And the result of that has been some community meetings where we want to all have the same goal. We all want a healthy, happy community. We all want to see violence end in any form. Well, really, prevention of sexual assault is my main objective, and so we've been able to really start having those conversations. How do we integrate engaging men and boys in preventing sexual violence in every program, and how do we take some of the efforts that other people are doing and integrate it into our program? The Community Action Team, Youth Action Team, this is being led by a student, Sierra Todd, of Henley High School. It's her senior project to actually do the organizing of this. They have a number of activities that they're doing. One of the activities is make a 3 to 5 minute public service announcement, how to end violence or prevent violence in Klamath County. What does it look like from their perspective? Another effort is they will be making some statements and signing some statements of how they will resolve conflict without violence. And this youth action team will also be able to give advice to the other prevention programs going on from the perspective of what's going on for the youth. We have a community wellness newsletter that we've done, and the next one's going to be from the youth's perspective. What is it like to be growing up in Klamath County, and what's the violence like for them? What codes do they have to live by, and what does bystander intervention mean to them and look like to them, and what problems do they have for that?
Really exciting. When I listen to all three of you speak, I really get the sense of a really robust program with an organization that's really committed to really doing comprehensive prevention that's going to not just change individuals, but really change the community norms.
One of the key fundamental concepts that drives us at all our intersections of further movement is that we, on the front end in 2005, chose not to go into the schools at first, because we felt the schools already had programs, and we knew that the programs had some success and they were program-driven. What we did is we integrated into existing community prevention activities. We started opening the dialogue with men in particular, but community members, so that we could increase the ownership and collaborations with all aspects and level of our community. What we wanted was this to become a community-inspired movement, not a program movement. And in that, we wanted to ensure that we built on the success of those other disciplines' messages, because they had been working for years like we had in their own fields trying to prevent some form of violence that was particular to them. We wanted to celebrate their successes, build on that, and that was critical and still critical today for us as we leverage those limited resources and look at ways we can come together at key intersections to complement what we're doing, yet still hold our own individuality, because there's still something to be said about the individual direction an agency has, but collectively that we are all on the same page how we're going to get to the big picture.
Really appreciate that, and I really think you capture the spirit of what to me is really innovative in prevention. So I want to really thank all of you for taking the time on this snowy day to share about the work you're doing, and I really look forward to learning more as you continue to develop your programs over at Klamath Crisis Center. So we've been speaking with Wanda Palace, who's the Executive Director, Kim MacArthur, who's the Rape Prevention Education Coordinator, and Mark McDaniel, who's the Pause for Change Coordinator. So thank you, Wanda, Kim, and Mark, for taking a few minutes to speak with me.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.